Roger, was it a year ago or 2 years ago or even longer when we sat in another cafe talking about the Barclay Marathons?
If we didn't talk about last year's Barclay Marathons, I would be utterly astonished, because it was it's one of the most remarkable Barclay Marathons, but it was also the first time a lady completed the Barclay Marathons.
Oh, I was there. Didn't she come in about 5 seconds before
90 seconds
yeah. for the cut-off point.
Yeah. And, but the news didn't come through until a few minutes after the cut-off point, because it's a race you can't see the race. You can't follow the race other than...
What was her name? I remember.
Jasmine Paris was a hero.
Jasmine Paris.
And there is the...
She's English, isn't she?
I think so. She lives in Scotland.
Ah, right. Excuse me now. She could be Scottish.
She could be Scottish, indeed. If you hear her speak, she speaks with an English accent. But, of course, that doesn't mean anything. There are people in
Ireland... She might be from Edinburgh.
Oh, is Edinburgh posh? Okay. But there's also the part of that story involves Jared Campbell, Gary Robbins, because there's a pivotal moment in last year's race. So to recap, it's five loops in Frozenhead State Park in Tennessee. Each loop is nominally the length of a marathon. Nobody knows. People think it's much longer than the... How long's a marathon? 26.2 kilometres or 42.2... No, 26.2 miles or 42.2 kilometres. Oh, my goodness. You have to find books, and you tear out a page from a book corresponding with your number for that loop. Very few people out of the well over 1,000 people who've tried to do it have actually finished the Barclay Marathons in the, let's say... 30 years or so that it's been going, maybe a bit longer.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Yep. See, some people listening to this might think, oh yes, there's a nice running track through the forests of Tennessee. Yeah. Can you please describe the landscape?
Well, the genesis, I suppose the best description to give and the idea of the terrain is that the Frozenhead State Park used to have a prison in it. And there was an escape, and after 24 hours, the prisoners, because the terrain is so steep, so covered in brambles, so disorientating as well, so covered in mist, such a dreadful place at this time of year, they only got in 24 hours, I think it was less than 8 miles. Now, if you did baby steps for 24 hours, you'd probably get further. So, anyway, and they were found freezing cold. I won't say begging to be arrested, but they can't have been far off. This terrain is brutal. Very steep in parts. You do it at night partially as well, because you have 60 hours to do the five loops. You have to be something of a superhuman athlete and a beyond expert orienteering person to be able to manage this.
Isn't there a short documentary or film on YouTube about this?
Well, excitement. Last night there was a documentary about last year's Barclay Marathon went live on YouTube, and it's actually very good. Now, it captures this pivotal moment that I was alluding to earlier. So, for the first four loops, you can travel in groups, pairs, you can work together. But on the final loop, people are sent out in opposite directions. In opposite directions. It is commonly held that the clockwise direction is the easier of the two directions. So, we have this situation last year where Jasmine Paris made it through four loops, is potentially going out on a fifth loop, and Jared Campbell appears at the gate. There's a yellow gate that marks the start and finish of each loop. He appears at the gate, well-rested, well, I wouldn't say well-rested, but he's had a bit of a break in camp before going out on his fifth loop. And Jasmine Paris is sitting by the gate in a heap after 45 hours of non-stop activity. She's almost a broken woman. She's having some food, and she's probably not even sure if she wants to go out in the fifth loop, but she has to. This, by the way, this lady is a remarkable lady. She turned up at the Barclay Marathons with an incredible reputation already. So the next person to depart gets the clockwise route. Jared Campbell is at the gate, kitted out, ready to go. And he asks Jasmine, does she want, which would she prefer, clockwise or anti-clockwise? Jasmine Paris's answer is, I don't mind. Now, this is a completely automated answer of somebody who is mentally drained. And I know this because she admitted this afterwards. She says, I was completely, I barely knew where I was. You hear a voice, now this is all filmed, by the way. This is all filmed, this amazing moment. You hear a voice in the background, and the voice is Gary Robbins. Oh my God, Gary Robbins has never finished the Barclay Marathons, but might well have the most remarkable Barclay Marathon story. He is a legend of the Barclay Marathons. Completely different recording. You hear his voice, and anybody who is involved and has followed the Barclay Marathons for the last 10 years or so, you hear his voice, and it's an emotional thing to even hear his voice. Because he's there, he's not participating, he is there crewing for another legendary run. I could go down a whole rabbit hole there, I won't.
What does he say?
He says, Jared, and he beckons Jared over. I had to turn it way up on the YouTube for the second time of listening, and you hear Gary Robbins say to Jared Campbell, she would like clockwise, Jasmine would like clockwise, but she can't articulate it, she can't. And you hear Jared Campbell, you know from, I can't quite make out what he says, but you know from what he says that he's also figured that out. So he goes back to Jasmine Paris, all the while, by the way, losing time. He could have been out there on the track, and quite frankly, given how tight it can be, these finishes, he's losing time. He could have been out on the easy route already. Well, easier route. He goes back to Jasmine and he says to her, if you want clockwise, it's all yours. I get emotional even thinking about it. Jasmine Paris breaks down, has to actually go away. Jared waits, she comes back, she can barely, she's so tired, she can barely articulate what she's feeling. She gets herself ready, gets to the gate first, therefore she is now the third person out, she is going to go clockwise. The emotion around everybody watching this is just, you know, there's not a dry eye in the house, practically. She is so mentally and physically drained. It's all she can do to raise her head and raise an arm in the direction of Jared Campbell in acknowledgement, in gratitude, and off she goes. Now, to complete the story, no woman has ever completed the Barclay Marathons at this point.
By the way, about how many people have completed the Barclay Marathon in its history of 10 years at least?
20.
Okay, in its 20-year history, how many people have completed it, about?
20 people. Oh, sorry, so there's about a 30, possibly 35, maybe even 40-year history here, but only 20 people have completed it, but at that point, only 17 people finished it, I think. Yes, 17. Yeah, I think that's right. A couple of people have finished it multiple times, including, oh, I should point out, so who's Jared Campbell? Jared Campbell is the man who's finished it the most, I think. John Kelly is another, okay, so John Kelly, so he's coming back to Gary Robbins. Gary Robbins had an almighty tussle with John Kelly one year. in the Barclay Marathon, stuff of legend. The reason Gary Robbins was there, the reason you hear his voice, he was crewing John Kelly last year. Again, an amazing little mini story. So all these emotions, if you know the Barclay Marathons and you know why Gary Robbins was there, you hear his voice, that's very emotional. Jared Campbell is a legend. So no woman had ever completed the Barclay Marathons. The man who organises the Barclay Marathons was on record multiple times saying no woman will ever complete the Barclay Marathons.
What's the name of the person who invented the Barclay Marathons?
He is affectionately known as Lazarus Lake, but that's not his real name. His real name is Gary Cantrell.
Okay, so, now look, you have to tell me, why are you so interested, passionate to the point of emotional engagement? Why, Roger? I mean, you're a calm person, a mixture of Dutch and English origin. So I wouldn't expect, or some of the listeners won't be expecting you to be so emotional. What investment have you got in the Barclay Marathons? Is it vicarious living?
Well, firstly, I'm not a calm person. I have a very short fuse, and I'm a very emotional person. Just in case there's somebody listening to this and he's thinking, has Paul ever met Roger? Anyway, why? Number one, it is a very quirky race. So you have to complete 5 laps of this very difficult course. You have to, and by the way, the course is described to you in very ambiguous language. You have to figure out what this language means. You have to find anywhere between 13 to 16 books, depending on the year.
And it's different every year.
It gets amended every year. And my God, after last year, is it going to be hell this year? I'd say Lazarus Lake is going to change the course and make it difficult that we won't get a finisher for another decade. So you have to find these books. You have to tear out a page that corresponds with your number for that loop. You accumulate your pages, and that's your evidence that you've done the loop. You've completed the loop. So that's quirky already. It costs, I think, $1 to get into the race. But how do you get into the race? Only people who've got into the race know how to get into the race. It's shrouded in mystery. What we do know is you have to write a letter with an essay and send it to, I think a previous address was The Idiot, and then some town in Tennessee, I believe. So this is the kind of race, and the fact that it's so hard to complete. The other thing is you can't watch the race. The only way to follow the race, now it has increased over time, but really the only way to follow the race is to follow a man called Keith Dunn, either on X, or he is also replicating his feed on Blue Sky now.
Oh, that's good news.
Well, that depends on your outlook and your political affiliations, I think, but... Well, you could also say it's good news that there's a multiple channel broadcast happening.
Can I ask you, do you think that all the runners in the Barclay Marathons are Trump supporters? Do you have to be a Trump supporter in order to run in this massively endurance experience?
No
comment.
It's not that no comment. I don't know the rules of entry, but I doubt they've been amended in the last 8 years to say you have to be a Trump supporter. Are some of the runners Trump supporters? Well, statistically speaking, there is a chance that some of them are.
But they do come from other countries, don't they?
They do.
Yes.
The majority would come from the States, but there are overseas runners as well. So you can't follow it. It's his most bizarre race. Nobody knows when it starts. So we're all guessing. We think it might be this weekend. if it's next weekend, he's leaving it very late, but he has also, in the past, to catch everybody out, this is Lazarus Lake, the organiser, he's also held it very early, and it almost caught people completely off guard, and they missed it almost. Other things about the race that are quirky, if it's your first time entering, you have to bring a license plate from your country. Ian Keith, who is from Cove here in Cork, he ran it 1 year and he turned up with an Irish license plate with Egypt on it. There is somebody who gets in every year who has no hope of finishing a loop, let alone finishing five, and they're called the Sacrificial Lamb. The runners are warned, given a 1 hour warning by somebody blowing on a conch shell, Lazarus blowing on a conch shell. They don't know when the race is going to start. They're not told. They're given an approximate, this be at the camp on this time, at this day, but they don't know the exact time. And the race begins when Lazarus Lake, at the yellow gate, lights a cigarette. And then all these runners, about 45, because that's all they're allowed to have any one time in the park, doing what they're doing, vanish off into what can only be described as a golden beige mist of leaves and trees and bare trees. It's quite mesmerizing. And then you don't see them for anywhere between 8 to 60 hours again, and then gradually one by one they come in, and Keith Dunn, all he does is he just posts these. Well, another thing, a couple of years ago, rather than posting the runner's name, so-and-so has arrived back in camp, to the utter fury of some people, but to the absolute delight of others, including myself, because it gave us something to do, he gave the most bizarre descriptions. Short European lady sticks in my mind, who I think that year was Jasmine Paris. So, short European lady returned to camp from Loop 1 with her pages in 12 hours and 19 minutes. And people were apoplectic. Well, who's this? You know, it's already difficult enough to, because you don't even know who's in the race. And now he's not even. So he would do that for the first two loops. Like I say, people just apoplectic. Guy, was it man in shorts?
You couldn't run it in shorts, could you?
Oh, people did, yes. Yeah. I've seen.
I'm thinking of the brambles and the spikes. Yes. It's like through Berberis bushes.
People do run it in shorts, and you see their legs scratched up. But they're going to get scratched up regardless of what you'd have to wear armour to not have your legs scratched up, so it makes no difference. At this stage, somebody listening to this, if anybody's listening to this...
This is a marathon. This is the... we can call this the sixth marathon.
The sixth marathon.
Or else it's the prelude marathon.
The prelude to the marathon. Somebody listening is probably going, but what happened to Jasmine Paris? She went out on the fifth loop. What happened? So there were, I think, seven people went out on the fifth loop. Never happened before. Seven people going out just never happened before. Now my recollection is getting a little bit hazy here. I believe two of those did not. Well, I know that two of them didn't finish. So, what's his name?
Didn't one of them go out on the fifth loop and give up within half an hour or something? I hardly went any distance.
I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember. So, what happened was, E4 Veris, I believe he's Ukrainian, I'm not entirely sure. It was his first time doing the Barclay Marathon. Not only did he finish it, he was the first one in. So technically he won the Barclay Marathon that year, which you can't always say because sometimes there are no finishers at all. In fact, the odds against someone finishing are quite high. He came in first, I believe. Then Jared Campbell, maybe. John Kelly came in as a multiple finisher now. He was already a multiple finisher, but he also came in. Oh, a New Zealander. What was his name? Greg. His name's gone out of my head. A New Zealander came in. So of the five people we knew had a chance to finish, four were in. And by the way, they were pushing it a bit towards the end there. It was kind of, well, this could get a bit tight.
Even I was clued in on Twitter at this point. I was at home.
Were you?
I know you were too.
I
was watching what was being reported.
Oh my goodness. So
then what happened?
So everybody on Twitter is just desperate for Jasmine Paris to finish and become the first woman to finish. And we're trying to figure out, where is she? Has anybody seen her? Has anybody gone down the track to report back that they've seen her? And nothing is coming through. And we're getting closer and closer to the 60-hour cutoff. Last year, the year before, there was a Belgian runner who came in, I think, with a few minutes to spare. Belgium came to a halt, looking at Twitter to see whether the Belgian runner, Carl Sabbe, would come in on time, and from what I gather, there were parts of Belgium that were just frozen watching this Twitter feed. So imagine people, all you can do is watch Keith Dunn's Twitter feed. Keith Dunn's Twitter feed. Keith Dunn's Twitter feed.
By the way, is he Keith Dunn, D-U-N-N?
Yes.
Just straightforward, no...
No special E's.
No special things at all.
Keith
okay.
Dunn. And then there were 2 minutes left. Nothing. 1 minute left. Nothing. Time was up. Nothing. A minute passed. Nothing. 2 minutes. So it was, and we know, look, it might take a little bit of time for the message to come through, but it wasn't coming through. And I mean, I was deflated. And then, let's see if I can find it, actually, because he doesn't tweet that much. Actually, maybe he does. But anyway, suddenly the message came through. Again, I get quite emotional even thinking about it. Jasmine Paris completed Loop 5. Was it 59 minutes? 58... So 59 hours, 58 minutes... However many, I mean, it was very, very, very tight. And I don't think I've been that... And it was well past midnight where I just dipped my head in. It was the most magnificent moment.
Is she in it again this year?
Don't know.
Because we won't know. We won't know, of course.
Hang on. Actually, I'm pulling this up and I'm showing Paul the video of Jasmine Paris coming in,
collapsing over the rail, the yellow rail.
So she
prostrate.
Said,
well, not. She's completely down on the ground.
Yeah, she collapsed. So basically, what happened was, she said in the video that I saw yesterday, she's being interviewed, and she said, I didn't have the energy to stop myself. All I could do was run into the gate to stop myself. So, yeah, quite remarkable. And,
are they allowed to carry cameras while they're on this route?
No.
No? So there's mm-hmm. You're not allowed to run around with a GoPro on your head?
No. The route is secret.
Right.
And the route is also off paths. It's not the regular tracks through the... and it goes against the grain to film. You occasionally, somebody gets permission to film parts of the course, but not all of it. There's a place called the Fire Tower, which is at the top of one of the climbs, where there's a water station. Now, a water station in the Barking Marathon is a bunch of water bottles dumped on a picnic table, and overnight they freeze. So bad luck if you get there, you're out of water and it's cold, because, you know, good luck getting the water out of the bottles. That is a point where people are allowed to spectate. You're allowed to spectate in camp. And occasionally, like I say, people have been allowed to film something. What's his name?
Have you ever been tempted to get on a plane and go to Tennessee and see if you could possibly find out where it's on?
Everybody knows where it's on. And the secret as to when it's on and the secret as to when to find out. I haven't checked this year, and they may have also closed that loophole, because some bright spark last year said, well, if you just check to see the campsite where the start and the finish point is, you'll see there's 1 week in March that's completely booked out, and either side of that there's nobody.
I see, right.
So it may not even be this weekend. This weekend is a potential. If it is this weekend, they're leaving it bloody late. I'm starting to think now that it's going to be maybe next weekend now at the earliest.
Well, look, I have to rely on you in order to tell me as soon as you know. So as soon as you see the tweet that says they're off, please send it to me via WhatsApp, please. Will you do that?
I shall. I'm just looking to see, so we can round this off today on this.
Well, it's in the middle of the night in Tennessee right now.
Yeah.
Though that doesn't make any difference. They can start at 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, God.
And in fact, I genuinely think this year is going to be a very, very difficult year.
Right. It's 7 o'clock in Tennessee now, 2 minutes past 7. They're 4 hours behind us. So yeah. We're recording at 11 o'clock.
We are, right. Keith Dunn, his last post is... He's just reposted somebody else. There's no inclination that anything is happening. Now, the other thing is nobody, a bit like Fight Club, nobody talks about Barclay Marathons. If you're entered into the Barclay Marathons, you don't say anything.
Oh, you don't? You don't put it on your Instagram with your kit all ready for going?
Some people do. It's not against the rules. Most people don't. And... It's held as in the community that you do not go to the place. If you think you know when it's on, you don't go there to spectate. It's simply not done.
Oh, right.
Because the park, the campsite at the park is small enough as it is. So it's not done to just turn up to...
You know, there is this thing, leave no trace. I think that's what it's called when you go out into the open air and you go open air camping and stuff like that. You're meant to, according to the Wild Way Code, you're meant to leave no trace. I wonder if this exists in Tennessee as a genuine intention.
I would think so. And I doubt the people who participate in the Barclay Marathons would leave anything behind, because they're not that kind of person. The kind of person that does this, and what attracts me so much to this, is they're quite remarkable people. The level of sportsmanship and support and humanity and kindness and togetherness. And if in your darkest moments, looking at the world as it is today, through whatever filter it's being presented to you, or to whatever filter you're self-filtering, if you ever feel down, it's worth watching any of the Barclay Marathons documentaries, any of the YouTube videos, just to get a sense of what can happen and what human beings are really, or one subset of human beings really is like, and it will restore your faith in humanity, in human kindness, in human togetherness, and what people are capable of as well. because this race takes people beyond their self-imposed barriers.